This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show again. Right here, right now, that was Mr. Jesse Belvin. Some of you may know him, a friend of mine, reminded me of how great he was. That is John, and so I thought I couldn't afford to miss the opportunity. So there you are, Jesse Belvin, out of Chicago some while back in late 50s. So anyway, we're going to start this off real quick. We're going to talk to someone out in Waianae, and we'll be talking about buses, and in the second hour we'll be talking about radiation and radiating and on. So good morning, caller. You have a comment you want to share with us?
Yeah, hi.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm fine. You're back with me here out Waianae, right?
Yeah, Nanakuli.
Yeah. Why don't you introduce yourself and share with us what you have as a problem and the concerns, and have you had any results from the city officials or state officials, and what does this involve?
Well, let's put it this way. We live off of Farrington Highway
mm-hmm.
in Nanakuli, and we have the train track parallel to Farrington Highway. And a lot of times when like the construction goes on, or in the morning when the kids go to school, there's a lot of traffic, and a lot of people like to hop on that upper road where the train track is.
Mm-hmm.
and drive past, which you can't blame them because there's only one way in and one way out here. But when they do it, they go quite fast. And we had called Okada Trucking and the Bora Wara about this because of the dust and the hazardous ways people drive and all that, which is unfortunate, but everybody seems to point the finger at everybody else. And mm-hmm. one day we even seen a city and county dump truck up there going real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, over here, we eat the dust from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all going all over the cars, and all the people over here are breathing this hazardous thing in.
Mm-hmm.
Before, the road used to be bumpy and hazardous to drive on a little.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, somebody who, when they pave the road, they dig up the road a little bit before they pave.
Right.
All that waste, they brought it over here one couple times, dumped it all the way from, past McDonald's, and headed all the way back to this park in front here.
Mm-hmm.
And they rolled it and put all that material over there, straightened it out, and had a roller roll it. And now the cars are even going faster. And when you call, everybody points a finger at the police. And when you call the police, they say they have no control on that road because there's no speed sign up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, what about the law, the EPA law or something? Because all these people down here are breathing this dust.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you could wash your car within, maybe a day or two, then you start seeing dust and all that. And we're going to have dust because of the big trucks that come in and out, But mm-hmm. ever since they did that, you can wash your car, and within half an hour, your car is wasted with dust.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started thinking that all the children have started to breathe this in. Isn't that hazardous to the kids?
Right. So now you've contacted the city, and the city has no help for you. You've contacted the state and the Department of Water.
Yeah.
And border water supply and nothing. But yet you saw city trucks actually dump the gravel on the road. Now the city is claiming it is not their road.
Yeah. They sent me a letter from Peter Carlisle
mm-hmm.
Saying that he has to talk to the major to find out to go investigate this problem. And I got a letter that says, I understand you spoke with Major, I don't want to mention a name.
Well, let's mention his name. We're not playing secret. A secret here. If we're fixing a problem, you didn't create the problem. So just.
This is Major Anchetta at Kapolei Police Station to discuss the complaint of Okada Trucking Company and been conducting road work on Farrington Highway
mm-hmm.
to avoid backlog of traffic. Easement motorists have been periodically using the state unimproved easement, which runs parallel to the Farrington Highway. Although vehicles use is not prohibited, this easement is not officially a roadway for travel. Therefore, speeding laws are not enforceable.
Okay. Well, let me do this. Let me get a copy. You got my number. Give me a call back, and I'd like to get a copy of that letter, because in that letter I was under the impression that they were all claiming they didn't know whose jurisdiction it was. But the letter is clear. It says that it's a state easement. So
right.
Maybe we can start there. But you're concerned with the dust, and if they've scratched up the road and dug it up and then dump it right there, there's concerns with benzenes and leads and other things there that presents a problem. So do that. Give me a call and leave a message, and I'll get back with you, and we'll follow up with the mayor. But so far, how long have you been working on this?
This has gone for months.
Okay.
Ever since Border Water started digging up this road, we started having mean traffic and people going around, which is, you cannot blame the people
mm-hmm.
because we only have one way in and one way out.
Right.
But when you call and say, hey, you guys got to slow these people down a little bit because you get bus stops with people standing around and all
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And some people go up there so fast, and you watch them and they're laughing like it's a joke.
Yeah, and Farrington Highway is already a death zone to some, as we saw just yesterday. And I know the exact area you're talking about. So anyway, let's do that, and I'll get a copy of that, and once again, the community can see when there's a problem in the community, you can't rely on a positive response from the government, and we'll try to get to the bottom of it, all right?
Yeah, I would appreciate it, because it gets pretty irritating when you call one place, and you got to call them, and then but it's not us, we cannot do nothing, and it's like, then who... To begin with, put the rock on the road, then they should be held accountable, because they shouldn't have put the rock on that road, period.
And it does serve as a safety, a hazard to many of motorists and pedestrians and
Yeah, the concerns for my grandsons, and I see the dust, and I look, the wind blows towards our houses, and I look into that, and I'm thinking, you look at your car, all these things are landing, you know, on your cars, your window, your house, your dining table. It's absurd. Then you start thinking, geez, all the little kids are breathing these things in, man. That's even worse than it was before with this. So,
well, okay.
It'd be nice if somebody could take care of it, and I appreciate it. I'll get that letter out to you right away.
Okay, thank you. Aloha.
Okay, Carol. Aloha. Right. See
bye-bye.
You later.
Bye-bye. Well, this is going to be a busy day, but again, as I've asked many of you, if we have a problem such as this, don't hesitate to call in. I'm not going to promise you quick results, but at least bring it out. And so when the politicians and the public servants tell us that they're doing a good job, let's try and add it up and see if they really are. We've been fibbed to so many times, and I know this area, and it serves as a risk to many of the people, the pedestrians, and as well oncoming traffic, and it invites people to turn left there off Farrington to the beach area. So anyway, we're going to move on, and we're going to be talking about bus and bus schedules. And I have Casey Connors, who's from the North Shore side, and there's been some serious issues with the bus. And we've already known for years that the bus, there was some very serious problems in schedules, and we should be relying on it, and it should be better. But instead of being better, apparently it's clear that it's getting worse. And not just in my opinion, but many of the people out there that ride the bus. And so, Casey, good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Oh, good morning, Carol. Thank you so much for bringing up this issue that's so important to our side. Just not just it's North Shore, it's Kulaloa, it's Kahalu, it's Kaneohe, it's all of Windward. And that's just one bus. That's just the 55. There were a series of buses that are cut back today, June 3rd, and we just found out about it. We knew that they were looking at proposals, and they kept telling us they're looking at proposals, but we can't even get the new bus schedule. And we would really, up our 55, it's our Circle Island route, and it's the only route we have north of Kaneohe, all the way to Haleiwa, and all the way around. Basically, what they've just told us is that during the weekdays, it'll be cut back to every hour. Every hour. So all up that rainy, beautiful side, we'll have, you know, we have Kapuna, we have elderly, we have disabled, we have students, we have families with kids waiting for an hour for the bus, and that is if it is on time. And if one breaks down or too crowded, or a lady in a wheelchair said if it's crowded, she is not allowed on. She'll have to wait every 2 hours. And I know, it just... people are shocked because in April in our Kulaloa Neighborhood Board, we did have someone from DTS come down, and we had a huge crowd saying, no, don't cut this bus. We rely on it for work, you know, for elderly students. Everyone relies on it. And then our neighborhood board in Kulaloa wrote in a petition in our May neighborhood board. And we know that the Kahalu Neighborhood Board came in strong also against it. So many people, the Haula Community Association, thank you to Dottie and Bert and everyone who wrote that petition, everyone came in strong. So they were very shocked just the middle of the week to hear, no, the cuts are final. It wasn't just a proposal. The cuts are final. And starting today, the buses 55, Circle Island, has been cut back. We don't know what to do. It's we for years have proposed more buses
right.
for our side, for our rural district. We have traffic problems, obviously, in the North Shore and down through Kaneohe into town. Like, for instance, just my landlord and her son, he's a student. She works Ala Moana. She has a car. She usually takes the bus. But now she's going to have to drive her car. He will, because they just can't risk this hour. Mm-hmm. Even before this, maybe I ride the bus. I was in a bad car accident. Thank God I can move my arm now. But I ride the bus one in maybe four times. It's very late. And it's mm-hmm. not the bus driver's fault. I took the 6:30 bus here out of Haula, and the bus driver told me up in the North Shore there's a paddle competition and the beach is already packed.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone knowing it, bus 55 probably going to get stuck up
delayed,
there.
Delayed, huh?
You know, so you can easily wait, you know, half an hour extra more than the schedule, 45 minutes. Sometimes the bus is a little more than 10 minutes early mm-hmm. during the day.
I have also Marianne Long, who's also from that side of the island, and she has also concerns and have been working with you, correct? And
yes,
and
absolutely.
And the issue here, I know for a fact it is not people just whining and just not satisfied or happy with the government. This is real life impacts.
Absolutely.
Their life depends on it, their jobs depend on it, and we're going to see a cut. So, Marianne, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. Good morning.
Yes, if you'd like to chime
in. I'm saying hi to Casey,
oh,
too. I hear
thanks.
She's there.
Uh-huh. Well,
I made it. The bus worked this morning. But they say, you know, with the paddle competition, you may be out there for a while this morning.
Yeah.
So, Marianne, what are some of your concerns? And for the callers, that are, the line is lit up, and so we'll try to entertain all of these. But real quickly, Marianne, what are some of your specific concerns, and how do you think, what are some of the solutions, if you could name them?
Okay. Casey really covered a lot of the points. It's a unique set of challenges out here. We're remote. You ask anybody downtown and you say you live in Haula, they think it's the end of the world. Well, I think the bus people really, really have to realize that if the town thinks we're the end of the world, then we need to get to town more often. Mm-hmm. So cutting back service is not the answer. I think that if DTS came out and they talked with the people and they really understood the unique challenges. We've got three colleges on that route, and a lot of, you know, students don't have cars. They've got to get to classes, even in the middle of the day if they're only taking a couple of classes. That 1 hour time gap is going to make it even more difficult for them. I don't know whether Casey mentioned this, but I know one of her concerns was idleness time. Now that there's a long lag time between buses, maybe kids at the bus stop waiting a longer period of time, you know, maybe there could be more problems. Mm-hmm. Those are different things that people have to consider. So I think if we really matched the needs of the people out here and the times that the buses are coming, maybe if DTS spent some time talking with the people, they might be able to come up with a more equitable schedule, especially people with doctor's appointments, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So I can imagine what's happening as well. That area rely on tourism and would benefit, but if you're cutting the bus, you're going to cut the number of tourists that would be delivered by the bus, number one,
mm-hmm.
and the cost of gas for the individuals who would drive their cars is somewhat cost prohibitive.
Right.
So,
yep.
So there is this. Would you describe this as a crisis in the making?
I'm sure that, you know, in the summer it may not be as critical, mm-hmm. but as soon as those kids start back to school, it's going to really start to show up. But I mean, still for people with doctor's appointments and everything during the summer, it's going to be a problem. You mentioned the economic factor. That's something that Casey had talked about at one of our meetings. Whether the city has actually looked into things like rural development money, community development block grants, whatever, to pay for the extra buses that would help to bring people out to this area, you know, to go to the farmers markets, to stop at our little shrimp shacks, the small restaurants, whatever, things out here. That might be an option, just to have more opportunities for people to travel in this area, plus mm-hmm. our own people getting to work. And even having more work opportunities out here, buses are going to be important.
Yeah. So just to be fair to the callers, I do apologize. Let me just entertain one here. Good morning, caller. Thank you for waiting. You have a comment quickly or a question? Yes, go ahead. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I do. This can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you loud and clear. This is
Jim Anthony.
Okay, I'm
Dr.
Jim Anthony. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Jim. I can hear you.
Okay. You know, much as I think all of us who live out in, as you know, I live out in Kahava. Much as I appreciate people like Casey and Marianne Long coming out and talking to this issue, I just think they have it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why. Look, we're in an election year. We're not here to start World War III over the issue of the bus. We need to solve a community problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem has to do with providing us with fair, with a fair and equitable public service. Now, if you're going to cut back bus, you need to go in with a, if you need to face the issue of cutting back bus services to wherever, whether it's Waianae or whether it's the Windward Coast, you need to know how this system works. What we should be doing as community activists speaking on behalf of the public is to understand how the power structure is structured. We should not only be talking to the city, namely the mayor, and remember, the mayor is running for election and he's wide open to being pressured. That's the bottom line. This is not about making friends with the mayor or making an enemy out of it, out of him. This is about protecting public, the public interest. And we should not only be talking to the mayor, we should be going to the meetings of the board of the board of HART, the rail system, because rail is fundamentally interconnected with the bus system in terms of funding, in terms of logistics, and in terms with a number of other public policy issues. So not only should we be talking to the mayor, we should also be talking to the board of HART, Honolulu Rapid Transit. They're meeting, I think, this Thursday. People should go up to HART and say, look, if you are going to use public funds, namely city funds, remember, rail is being funded by a 0.5% tax across the board every time you go to the grocery store. Rail is also being funded by 5307 and 5309 federal funds. I think I'm right in saying that some of those monies also feed into the bus system. There is a big policy issue to be addressed with good sense, on the basis of sound research, and the facts are available. I have most of them already because I'm deeply involved in the rail debate. We need to get our act together. Ask the mayor to meet us. Come out of the meeting with the mayor. Tell him while we are in a meeting with him that we're going to have a press conference immediately afterwards. You know, in an election year, the mayor has to pay attention. He's a candidate for re-election. We can go to Kirk Caldwell and say the same thing. We can go to the board of directors of HART and they will put us on the agenda. That's what we need to do in order to solve this problem.
Okay.
I think the preliminary work in drawing this to the attention of the public by people like Casey and Marianne Long, fine. But that's not going to solve the problem. There's got to be follow-up. That's it.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All righty. One thing you won't hear at the office of the meeting at HART is we have a HART.
That what?
You will never hear these words spoken at HART meeting. We have a HART.
Well, I don't know. I think you need to go and put your best foot forward at a HART board meeting. I haven't been to a board meeting yet, but I've talked to members of the board of HART, and there is room there for the public to exert pressure, and the time to do it, Carol, is now.
No.
We got to wake up. We got to work smart. Instead of being seen in the community as just a bunch of copping crybabies.
Well,
copping crybabies ain't going to work.
Well, dictate to the mayor, because Hart is a bogus entity anyway, so why go there and spend your
money? Well, you and I have a disagreement on that, but, you know, we're both gentlemen.
Well, not
we still love each other after we disagree.
Yeah. It's not a disagreement. I'm just telling you how it was formed. And Hanneman has his girls and his friends and everybody else and his ex-workers. And
you name every similar entity that has been appointed by Abercrombie. Suffers from the same defect.
Well, that's okay, though. We'll take them one at a time.
Okay.
And so I can't take a broad brush and just hit them all at one with one gunshot or one shotgun.
Well, okay. You do what you do well, and I'll do what I do as well as I can.
No, yeah, thank you, Jim, for your wisdom. And thank you so much that you have taken the time to come down. As you know, we have so many working families, and it is hard for many of us to take off the time, especially to drive all the way in from our side.
Who's this, Marianne?
This is Casey. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. Who's this, Casey?
Yeah, thank you for taking the time
you're wrong
and
about
showing
that.
Up.
You know, if we're going to, this is an important issue.
Right.
We may have to take a couple of hours off work and go down and attend to this.
It takes a couple hours just to drive back and forth.
Well,
so people have to take all day off.
Okay, we're at cross purposes. Anyway, thanks, Carol.
Yes. Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And that's one of our problems. This summer, the parents are very concerned because our kids at Castle and Kahuku are going to be, instead of going to their programs, and are going to be waiting at bus stops for an hour if the bus is on time. Our summer school gets out at 12:30. Then they wait.
Mm-hmm.
Our summer fun gets out at 2. Grandmas and parents have to readjust their schedules to pick up their kids. They have to leave work early now. All of a sudden, they've realized that, and to pick up their kids and get them. So this summer, it is difficult because the kids are all over, and your parents need to be responsible for them. So during the day at school, okay, they're at school, but now we're trying to get them into programs doing good things. And if they're at the bus stop, sorry, they or just waiting. Mischief.
Caller, you have a comment, a question. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hello.
This is Ben. How are you? Good morning.
Fine. Good morning.
Hello,
you have
Ben.
A comment, a question?
Yes, I have more fuel to add to the fire, and this has to do with the bus drivers. And I just found out recently that 400 of they are going to they want to lay off or get. Or try to eliminate 400 bus drivers. We're talking about workers who have already been on the force, who are working, who are paying taxes, who are paying their mortgage, providing for their families, and yet they tout rail as making jobs, but most of these jobs are in the mainland. Now, that's kind of asinine, if you ask me. I think Jim's comments were spot on, because not only do we need to have the media up to date and see the bigger picture, because it's not only happening in Kuala Lumpur, Waianae, all the poor areas are getting hit by this massive stupidity that the colony is doing. And so we need to start stepping up to the plate and go to those Hart meetings. We need to start stepping up to the plate and meet with the mayor and meet with whoever we can, even our federal officials or guys who are running for federal office, and see what they can do to persuade them to. And it's all about funding. All about funding. They just want to cut the services, the core services of transportation, from the bus and give it to rail. We need a couple lawsuits. For the bus company or Wayne Yoshioka. Yes, Wayne Yoshioka is just a title, but we need a couple of what they call those kind of lawsuits where everybody sues them.
Class action
lawsuit. That's what we need. Mm-hmm. You really need a couple of those things to kind of wake them up.
Let's digress for a moment.
They are so malicious in what they're doing, and they're lying to the public. Period.
Ben, let me ask you a question in regards to the quote 400. Jobs that have been. Where specifically are you relying on that information? Where is it? Can it be found in corporate?
Bus drivers. In their meetings.
Okay. And there is there any way we can get specific statements from them or their representative?
They'll get fired. They'll get fired even earlier. What they're trying to do, like most big businesses do, those who have been in the longest, they want the old timers all along.
Okay, well, I'm with some reservations accepting that as fact until we can see it, and if they feel that they can't publicly broach that subject, I don't want to.
No, I think the union, the Teamsters, I think Teamsters should pick that up and publicize that, and
right.
then we can use it as facts.
Right, right.
That would be the way to go wrong with that.
But you, before I interrupted you, you had another comment you were going on, and I do apologize, but I try to not talk about the booger bear that's in the closet unless we can open it up and see the booger bear, and I'm not, that's not my approach. But go ahead, you had some other comment you wanted to make.
No, that was it. That was it. I wanted to thank Casey and Marianne for their dedicated work to Ko'olauloa. A lot of the poor sides are going to get hit because they don't have that money for the gas. They don't have the wherewith to make it work. And so they're going to be stuck in that 1 hour wait period. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's always longer than what they tell you is scheduled to be. Mm-hmm. But the way traffic is now, it's going to be even worse. And so, you know, it does not make sense. The population is not staying, going backwards. The population is the same. The bus system was like this back in the 70s. And now we should have been getting better. So actually, everybody should be accountable. It should be our mayor. It should be Wayne Yoshioka. It should be anybody who's stupid enough to try to cut the bus system when the gas prices are going up and people are just barely making it as it is right now.
Well,
gas, water, sewer, and all that other stuff.
Here's what puzzles me, and I'm two things, and I want to speak to something else. To as my comments about Hart was not disagreeing with Jim Anthony, and I apologize to the listeners for if he was quick to conclude that I was disagreeing. What I'm saying is that if you're going to go to the mayor, you have some leverage immediately on the mayor because there's the elections right away.
Right.
You go to Hart.
I believe that too.
You go to Hart and talk to them. You're just talking to the pansies. They got their marching orders. They were assembled in a fashion to take marching orders. So you go to the mayor. And you have him to go and represent you before Hart.
That's right.
That was not in a disagreement. I agree with Anthony wholeheartedly.
I think both of you folks are pointing on. I don't think anybody. It's just adding more leverage to whatever you can do to change their policies.
But the problem is present, currency, and I don't believe in going to down the road a mile away to talk to someone that's standing next to me. And I think the solution, get Carlisle and all of them who is trying to get in for whatever reason. I've never seen anybody want to go in such a job and make such a small amount of money and fight the way they do to get in. So we need to pinch their tails and have them to go before Hart as partners with us, but not to go to Hart, and then Hart takes its time for months and weeks and whatever.
Basically the same subject, but a little bit to the right or to the left. You know, I am for labor. I am for our working members. I'm for them getting benefits and all that good stuff that comes with a progressive lifestyle. But there are some who just completely, you know, who think that these jobs are going to come from Hawaii, but many of them are going to come from somewhere else, and the escalation of the price of the project itself for real will just keep going higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, and we just cannot afford it. You know, I believe the people on the leeward side, they deserve something. They really do.
Yeah.
But this $9 billion project, and it's going to escalate. We're only in the beginning. They already did it three times. It went up already.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's only going to go higher. It's going to bankrupt everything that we have.
Yeah. Well, everyone that sits out there and they say that it was an Ebba Beach problem, I've spoken to people on the North Shore, and they says, well, that's their problem. Well, now we see it's our problem.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have to say that it looks like the city council on Wednesday will at 10 a.m., Ernie Martin, Ann Kobayashi, and Tulsi have put forth an amendment, and I don't know if it's an amendment. They'll be looking at these bus cuts that are happening today and how they especially affect our elderly and our students. So if people are interested in that, I would say the city council is coming in, and we also want to thank Representative Gil Riviera. He's looking for how to everyone knows it gets our 55 bus gets stuck at the everyone looks at the turtles in the North Shore, and we're also looking at things like certain employers will give you a bus pass out of your paycheck, and that is a, I believe, federal program that will lower your tax rates. Mm-hmm. So there are ways to stimulate bus service, mm-hmm. to bus ridership that they haven't looked at. If we have buses every 20 minutes from Honolulu through Kaneohe up to Haleiwa, many more people would ride it. We would, cut our use of fossil fuels. We would cut our traffic tremendously. So that's an example. If it's regular and it comes on time and dependable, we would have a lot more ridership on the bus on our side and a lot less traffic. Mm-hmm. People wouldn't have to drive into Honolulu if they knew they could catch the bus. So that affects everyone, our whole side. Mm-hmm. And we'd love people to take a closer look at that.
Ben, thank you for joining us. And
thanks,
we're going to go to the next caller.
Hello.
Aloha. Good morning, caller. You have a Good morning, caller. Good morning. You have a comment or question? Hello.
Yeah?
You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I do. This is Jim Anthony again.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
After I spoke to you a few minutes ago and to your audience, I placed a call to a government official. That government official has promised me that there will be a discussion with Roger Morton, the guy who runs the bus system, and the message that I have been assured will get to him is this is not the time to be cutting bus services anywhere.
Okay.
And I hope that message gets through, and I know there will be a follow-up discussion with the mayor.
Well, what are you doing
next? That's my 2 cents worth.
Well, before you spend your 2 cents, what are you doing next Sunday?
What am I doing next Sunday?
Are you joining the Carol Cox Show next Sunday?
Next Sunday, if I'm still alive, I'll be happy to talk to you. Is that why you're asking me?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, because there's a lot of people have asked about this.
I would like to talk at length about rail. I would like to talk about bus service, and I would like to talk about anything that you would like to chat with me about.
Okay, so go ahead and put your 2 cent worth in, and I'll give you a penny for your thoughts.
All right, Carol, I'll pencil you in.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Right. Good morning, Carl. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, how you doing? I understand that they want to cut the bus routes because of high gas prices, but yesterday and today I understand that we'll be using natural gas, which means that mm-hmm. gas prices is going to be lower. So I just don't understand why they want to cut the bus services now.
Yeah.
I mean, cut the bus routes. That doesn't make any sense to me. I think this got something to do with rail. But I listen to you folks off the air.
Hey, thank you again. Thank you. Aloha. Well, I read that same statement from Yoshioka, and I thought to myself, that's a lot of hot air and gas. Because you know what? If they want to start saving money on gas, get rid of the chargers, those superchargers, those Dodge chargers that they have, that they use to pick up, to let one driver exchange and drive to the next location. If they want to start demonstrating that fashion, you follow? That's just one. But the other thing, and Mary, you're still there, but one of the other things that puzzles me is that it's so disjointed, this entire rail thing. It's criminal. It really is. It's manipulation of funds. It's manipulation of the people. And they have no sense of the welfare of the economy or anything, because didn't they just float an idea of expanding and building hotels and greater development along that same area? And you're only going to have one bus cutting? Is that logical?
No.
How are the people going to get to work? Or are they assuming that everybody that work at those hotels and the shops, that they're going to be developed by the Mormon Church in those areas? Are they going to be driving their own private cars? The salary is going to be so great that they could show up in their Jaguars?
Well, Haula has kicked in for a while. It's been, we understand, I have to double check that Laie, they've only started to send in letters as of Friday and realize what this the bus cuts will do to Polynesian Cultural Center, both the tourists and the workers. And,
what are their stance on that? Have they chimed in, or are they being polite to Hanneman and the RSI?
I have an email back just late in the week from somebody who said they will, an official who said that they will be contacting about this problem. But the BYU student newspaper talks all about the problem, mm-hmm. but it didn't, like, for instance, the Windward Community College, I read the chancellor's I heard the chancellor's statement. Mm-hmm. It was very strong. They're very concerned about their students, their staff, their faculty, their the events.
Hopefully the community.
And, yeah, the events, the community, and how it will affect them. And I've spoken with someone from HPU's campus. So, yes, if they're going to build that huge development in La'ie Melekahana, the four-story Marriott, and double the size of the university. And we have been talking in our neighborhood board for a couple years now, and again, I brought it up in October, November, about the environmentalists and everyone have to join together. This bus situation is a nightmare. And if they put in the more hotels and condos that Replay Resorts is pushing for in Turtle Bay, yes, that will be more of traffic. You know, our hotel workers, Local 5, needs to get there. We have farm workers on our side up and down. We have, a lot of small businesses. Many people, I've seen a girl crying, works in a fast food up there. She's three times late and she's fired. Mm-hmm. And how in the world is she going to be able to get to?
Mary, you have any comment you want to?
No, I think that it's been discussed. All the points are out there. It's just what's, the next form of action.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if this meeting that Casey mentioned for Wednesday can bring some of the parties together, then maybe that will be the beginning of a plan.
How about a mass civil display of people? I'm sick and tired of everybody talking and they don't want to name the names. This is government. They don't have any right to anonymity when they're screwing us. I feel like someone is pouring water down my back. And on the other hand, I feel like my community is handing me a napkin and say, well, dry it off. It's enough of that. We're up to our necks drowning in misery.
Well, Kahalu Neighborhood Board has stood up strong, and I don't think the North Shore Neighborhood Board or the Kaneohe Neighborhood Board has even heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't had hearings in their neighborhood boards, those mm-hmm. two huge neighborhood boards, so they're not looking at it and the impact on their businesses. The North Shore Chamber of Commerce has come in with a statement against this mm-hmm. strong one.
So Ms. they Miller should did. Be embracing
it. Ms. Miller did, but they have, DTS has not come up and explained it to either the big North Shore Neighborhood Board or the Kaneohe. Mm-hmm. It's been a surprise to them. So this and that's the bus. That's the main artery that gets people back and forth for business, for school, for doctors, and I think AARP told us they're getting a lot of calls because it disproportionately affects our elderly. You know, we're going to have a lot of people we're going to swamp the handy van. So we're going to take money from this, and then the handy van is going to be swamped and overwhelmed because it doesn't quite make sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question. Thanks for waiting. Well, I hope the caller's going to appreciate we just can't stop in mid-sentence because I lose my place. So be patient if you want to contribute. But I stand back, and I've heard all of this. This is why I'm reluctant to sit and talk about the rail as it's been discussed. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. But we've almost exhausted people because it's been such an exchange of words, but now the real impacts are creeping in and settling in on us, and we're still in that mode of talking. I advocate civil disobedience and then stand out there with signs, get down there and show the Revere. I read his comments. He has the power to have a hearing to information. See, there's this casual peripheral handing, but none of them they stand up and they authorize, the legislators authorize the taxes and what have you. And we while we should be respectful of them, mm-hmm. we shouldn't be inviting them to have such casual and peripheral comments. And then we need them to lead the way now. That and I applaud you and like myself, but it's enough when the system is in place. we should ask for Wayne Yoshioka to be fired and investigated, the whole system. That's how we clean this up, because guess what? Whitmore Village and Wahiawa will have the same problems. Mm-hmm. Ever Beach, yes, and the entire island. So we need our legislators, rather than just standing and looking at it casually and you know, mm-hmm, giving us a nice pat on the back. And we need them to be the tip of the spear in this one.
Well, we thank our legislators. They've been coming to our little meetings.
Yeah, but
they've been coming down, and they're like, oh, wow, this is real. We were told they were just looking at it.
Well, they knew about it a long time.
Well,
it's just,
some of them did.
No need to defend them. The problem is what has settled in on your shores is trouble.
Yep.
And regardless of what the who has done what, it hasn't been enough, apparently.
No, it's not enough. It's not enough.
Yeah.
And our bus is in particular, the Circle Island, the 55, is the big tourist bus. It's the one all the tourists take. You know, they're all told to take this bus. So we don't understand that will affect our tourist industry also. And if we're all driving up and down that beautiful stretch of highway, you know, who flies here to sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic? To fly all the way to Hawaii, you know, we're damaging our tourist industry. If we all can't wait for the bus an hour and we're all in our cars instead, it damages our tourist industry. And there's questions. The bus drivers didn't even know this morning. Well, if the tourists take the Circle Island from Waikiki, I give them a transfer. Do I give them another transfer in Wahiawa, or they pay again? There's all this confusion about that. And yeah, on TV on Friday night, you know, the Chin store in Punalu, they said, well, we're going to have less tourists getting on and off because the bus is going to be an hour. We'd like them to stop at our mom and pop shops, you know, taste our butter mochi and our, you know, shrimp shacks and get a taste of real Hawaii. This is some of the quality tourism. Our 55 would be a win-win, both tourists and local residents, if it was run efficiently and every maybe 20 minutes, on time, dependable. A win-win for our rural community, for elderly, for tourism, for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question for Casey?
For you.
Good morning, caller. Thanks for waiting. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, good morning, Carol. Good subject. I went to the short-range meeting in Kaneohe at Ben Parker on April 2nd with a bus and a handy van and one that they were talking about. And a lot of people are concerned about Route 65, which is the Kaiakili one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you should go to the hygienic store and you get off and you can catch the 55, continue on to down the country and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't think about that. You say 65 would have to go back to Kaneohe, and from Kaneohe we catch the 55. There was the inconvenience right there. Another concern is I use the handy van a lot because I'm vision impaired and whatnot. And, you know, they have this eligibility center in Honolulu for the handy van assessment to see if you can have the handy van or the bus. And they try to get people off the handy van that can utilize the bus. But by doing these new bus route changes and cutting back, we can't do that anymore. It's just that we have to go on a handy van more often. It's going to be great demand.
Wow.
So that's one of the problems right there they got to look at. You know, they want to get some people off the handy van to utilize the bus, but now they make it harder for us to catch the bus.
Well, next week, because I was going to announce that I'm going to we'll discuss this in some form or fashion next week. But if you'd be happy, would you join us, give us a call in and
Sure.
Okay, we're going to do it in the first hour, and I'm going to go looking for a couple of things. But, folks, it's at our shores, and anybody that wants to sit back and theorize, it's not going to affect us. It's just going to affect the people in Ever Beach because it's going to be under construction. Hello.
Thank you.
So, anyway, thanks.
Yeah, but, Carol, we've also asked for buses across the H3 so our students can go to Leeward Community College. Right now it's a nightmare. You have to have a car or it's too long.
Mm-hmm.
People want to work in Pearl Harbor. So we've asked for more buses, a direct bus from Kaneohe to Kailua. And maybe when you get off the bus, the 56 doesn't come. There's no place to stand near the jack-in-a-box, no shoulder, to go up to Windward Community College. So we'd ask for mini buses or small buses around Kaneohe to make that more convenient, to cut our traffic. If we are trying to go green, cut our traffic congestion and our fossil fuel consumption. These things would make sense.
How do people contact you? Because there should be some coordination, or you have a website, anything that people can coordinate with you or contact in case they're interested in asking more questions?
I have my email. I'm just one person.
What is it? And
my email is, the best one to get me is kcstuff@hotmail.com.
Okay.
But I'm just one person. We've been working with different neighborhood boards, and we would love to. I'm only a volunteer. We'd love to get more people involved.
Yeah. Well, that's how we do it, if they can reach out and touch you. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Well, I think that's probably Mufi Hanneman calling about five or six times.
Well,
he's learning how to play the numbers again.
I do have to say, when the bus was very late earlier than this week and I got off at Kahuku High School, there at Tita's Grill was Mufi. And, of course, I went over and talked to him, and I asked him if he could help us with the buses.
Yeah.
And I said they were coming every hour, and it was a big problem. And he said he cared about our side, and he asked us why, and I said the paper said it was because of the rail, and he was not pleased with what I said. But his assistant did call me back, and now I have a call on my cell phone from the director, Wayne Yoshioka, so I need to call him back.
Oh, so Mufi fixed the problem for you,
well,
then? No problem.
He
also caused it.
I don't know that.
Well,
I mean,
he was the mayor.
You're better.
He was the mayor, and he, unless we forget our history, remember, he's the guy. Go, Rail, go. We don't want him for governor. So I think, like Jim Anthony said earlier, there's the right thing to do. It's nice to be polite, but you can't, these guys, these politicians are just that. Snake oil salesmen and snakes. So I don't know. I think that Hanneman, Carlisle, and the legislators have failed the people. And now we got to sort it out. And then the frustration, and then we find ourselves wanting to be apologetic and sympathetic with these guys. They don't deserve any more courtesy. They need to fix our problems. I mean, I'm not, that's me speaking and not speaking at you, but again, they're the ones that presented it to you.
There is rural development money and there's transportation money. We'd love them. We've been asking for years for people to look at this.
And that Wayne Yoshioka, he came in. Did he come in on the Mufi Hanneman?
I don't know.
Yeah,
that.
I
don't know that.
He has a grand dealings with him. But anyway, it's unfortunate, and we are stuck. But next Sunday, I definitely want to talk about it. And if you got more to add or more developments,
The other thing we're very concerned about. We're trying to increase bus ridership, and for our side, also the Windward side, it's the rainy side. We don't have bus shelters. We don't have benches. Only a very few places do. I hear Hawaii Kai has wonderful ones. So we would love to know how to increase bus shelters, benches, if we want to get our ridership up and traffic off Windward through Kaneohe and into town. Those kinds of things we'd like to see. And we're not sure how to go about what kinds of actions can we take to increase our ridership. We'd like to help the bus make money or just break even. So those are the kinds of things we're looking at. And
so let me ask, isn't it kind of curious that you as a citizen have to do this? Don't you think that Yoshioka and those folks should have come to the boards and community members and presented that and offered that before they make the decision to cut?
In April, we had a huge crowd at Ed Haula, and we went down almost every single point and more that I'm making. And the man from the DTS did take good notes, and that's why our community was a little bit laid back in responding in the last 2 months, because we thought we were being listened to. I guess the director and the DTS doesn't understand. Red Raider Nation comes through in the fourth quarter if we're behind. We didn't realize we weren't listened to until this last week or 2 weeks.
We're coming down to the close, but
thank you.
Here's what I would share with you and leave with real quick, and is that unless you tell them they got something that you're going to take from them, like their position in office, it's nice to be nice, but it's terrible to be nice and still get the short end of the stick. So you and I are old enough. We've been around the horn. We know. I don't want to get into greater details, but let them know that you're going to vote them out. let them know they're going to have to go to Kmart and get a job or go somewhere and get a job if they keep this behavior up. So that's my – real quickly, any comment? We got about 20 seconds.
No, I'm so pleased with the communities from North Shore, Kulaloa, Kahalu, and Kaneohe are standing up. They're realizing it's real. They're working together for the first time, and they're seeing the effects of transportation, the connection between lack of transportation and poverty.
Okay.
And that's wonderful. They're caring for their students, their kapuna, and their working families. So that part is great. But we need more. As Jim Anthony says, we need much more.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining me. And this is the Carol Cox Show. We'll see you in the next hour. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, Carol. Right. Thank you so much for caring.
Aloha.
This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.
In the rain, it may sound crazy, but I want to go outside. In the rain, cause I think I'm gonna cry. See me cry. I wanna go outside in the rain. It may sound crazy, but I wanna go outside in the rain. Once the rain starts falling on my face, you won't see a single trace. Oh, the tears I cried, because of you I cried. No, I want you to see me cry. Let me go, let me go, let me go. Sun comes out and the rain is going away. I know I'm gonna see a better day. Right now I think I'm crying because of you I'm crying. Don't want to see me cry. Let me go, let me go, let me go, let me go outside. It may sound crazy, but let me go. Let me go outside. In the rain.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Again, folks, as I told you early on, I'm not here pretending to do anything, and I just look for moments, and why I have the attitude that I have is that just the glaring example of a politician. What a real politician will be is that Hanneman would go to that area who's now being impacted by the bus, which he in brought about, and campaigned to ask for an office. So either they think we're blind, crazy, or drunk or something. But let's remind them, folks, our back's against the wall. And it's time for us to display that the difference between people that care and people that don't care. So we need to do something and send them a message. Don't vote them in. I mean, come on. We are struggling here just to exist now. And they're running or parading around with big money and big promises. So there you are. I have also this morning with me is Mr. Douglas Oringer. And Oringer.
Oringer.
I'm just playing with it. And it's O-R-I-N-G-E-R, but, you know, when sometimes it's fun, but not being disrespectful. But Douglas has a background in environmental work and professionally and has some credentials, and we'll let him introduce himself. But we're going to be talking about many issues, fish, the DOH, Department of Health, and its response to this issue of fish, and his response and his letters and contacts and what have you. So we're going to be talking loosely and off course, the trash and what's to come and many things. It's going to be just about. Anyway, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Sure. Good morning. Thank you, Carol. So, I have a degree in chemical engineering, not directly to anything in environmental per se, and certainly not radiation. It's not my forte. It's not my specialty. But my dad was involved in research around the Manhattan Project. He was pulled out of MIT and subsequently died from handling fuel rods and reactor rods. He was working on the original cyclotron. So I know firsthand, and everybody today knows people with cancer. Mm-hmm. So for the Department of Health, so let me back up a little more. I'm here today to speak about a story that broke in the press regarding fish, specifically bluefin tuna sampled in California, that 15 out of 15 bluefin tuna tested radioactive. Now, this was last August, so this was more than or about a year ago, five mm-hmm. months after the incident, Fukushima incident. And it's not like it's today's news. Mm-hmm. So that brings at least my concern level up. It's like if fish in California are contaminated, what's going on in Hawaii? We're halfway to Japan. And in my concern, I call the Department of Health. I call my public officials. I call around to see what's going on, what's their concern. Mm-hmm. And there doesn't seem to be any. In fact, when I call the Department of Health, the typical response is to go back to sleep. Why are you calling us? Mm-hmm. You know, we're busy. But to me, the mandate of the Department of Health is to take care of the health of the public. And if radiation is a potential concern in our immediate environment, I consider that a concern. And I consider that a legitimate request to ask them, where are we at in the status of our monitoring of potential radiation in our environment? Mm-hmm. And when they come up empty-handed and tell me it's of no concern, I can't do anything but consider that an insult to my intelligence, because anybody with a brain is going to think differently. And I've asked people from our elected officials' offices on down, and anybody with a brain who's human is responding that they are concerned. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand the Department of Health, specifically Ms. Lynn Nakasone mm-hmm. over at the FDA branch food testing, tells me, we're not testing fish. We have no plans to test fish. And the results discussed, based on the research reported from last year, is of no concern. Mm-hmm. It's of such a low level that it doesn't warrant any consideration. Mm-hmm. Now, and the discussion there is that the background, the levels of radiation reported are within background levels. Well, what does background levels mean? I mean, if you know, we got to look at what are we hearing? What are the people telling us? Mm-hmm. So what are background levels? If background levels are no concern to the public, why does the EPA have a program all about monitoring radon?
Right. Right.
And you can't even sell your house in the mainland if you don't know what your radon levels are and if you have to take mitigation effects and this, that, and the other thing. And we're talking a major monitoring program going on by the efforts of the EPA and the federal mm-hmm. government. If it's not of concern, why are they spending money doing it? Why are they reporting that over 20,000 people a year are dying from radon exposure? Is that not of concern to our, you know, it is. It's a bunch of nonsense that, mm-hmm. that our public health officials are going to tell us it's not of concern, and if it's within background radiation levels, that it's not a concern, because radiation is radiation. Radiation impacts biological function. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you and I are biological functioning beings, so mm-hmm. to hell with the Department of Health, as far as I'm concerned. Excuse my French, but, you know, it's a direct insult when you call your public officials and they tell you these things are of no concern mm-hmm. and we're supposed to go back to sleep.
And I will echo the same concerns. I've had contact with Nakasone and with the public relations person, and Janice, she is the public relations. Whether it's salmonella, whether it's radiation, or chemicals of sort in fish, they have little to say. And here's something you and I spoke about earlier. The unfortunate part of this is that they're the ones, everyone, you and I right now can document fish having contaminants in it or radiation of high levels.
Mm-hmm.
The health department hasn't taken any action to monitor, to do anything, and yet the media goes to them and they have the last say. For example, we had foam here. They said, well, it's not harmful to the fish or anything like that. It's not harmful to humans. But in the same sentence, they say, but we don't have the capacity of the machines or the equipment to test this to determine the toxicity. So they are getting a free play or somewhat that I don't understand. And hopefully with the people like you and myself and our efforts, we keep hammering it away that they should not be trusted. And with this radiation, what, 15 blue fin tuna?
Right. And so they were sampled out of Stony Brook, New York University, out of Stony Brook, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the researcher indicated the levels were less than 3% of background. But that, again, that was last year. He did indicate that this year, they have no idea. It could go either way, and that's why he wants to test more. They're recommending further testing. California is intending to do further testing. I called the National Marine Fisheries Service. The scientists over there intend on doing sampling. They're looking at migratory predatory fish, and mm-hmm. migratory food chain
food
species.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a select few that they think are more indicative mm-hmm. and provide better information. So they're going to look at those. But and even in the report that broke in the press, the bluefin tuna were contaminated. Local yellowfin tuna that were not migratory were not
mm-hmm.
radioactive. Well, gee, that's information I'd like to know for me and my children. Right. If there are fish that are going to have a higher concentration, please let us know.
Right.
Let me make the decision if I want to engage in another set of toxins. And I know, you know, originally I talked to the Department of Health about rainout events where rain is containing radioactivity. I mean, Hilo, the milk in Hilo was reported radioactive at one point early on last spring. And I work on various properties doing environmental assessments and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm out by the volcano on a property, and they're using rain catchment water. Right? So rain catchment water contains radioactivity. And I'm discussing it with them. They're like, why do you say that? Why would you go there? It's like, well, let's see, ma'am. You do realize that the milk in Hilo from a dairy was reported as radioactive. The EPA has a report. Well, yeah, we heard about that.
Mm.
Well, how do you think the milk gets radioactive? It rains on the grass. The cow eats the grass. And then, you know, we pull the milk. Well, there you go. So we're also exposed to the rain. And when I talked to the Department of Health about it, the indoor radiological branch, the assistant, I can't remember her name, assistant director told me, what do you want us to do? We don't regulate the rainwater. And I was shocked. I was so taken aback by that. I almost cried. But, mm-hmm. I sat there on the phone and I was stunned. And I said, Well, sure, I understand that you don't regulate it, but you do know that a large or significant number of people in the state of Hawaii use rainwater catchment for potable water.
Mm-hmm.
At least put out an advisory.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know, because not, you know, people just are not aware. No, we do not regulate rainwater, she continued to respond, and had no intention, and that, and they don't. They don't tell the public
and they,
anything.
They don't regulate rainwater, but they regulate and should advise people of health
sure.
concerns and what. One of the other things is that they're careless, because all of this implicates, let's say if it's bluefin tuna in the Atlantic,
mm-hmm.
shows up, that leaves the opportunity recklessly implicates or indict the fish here, potentially the Pacific or the yellowfin, right? Because they haven't, people say tuna, and what about Hawaii? Well, if the health department isn't careful to address it, they could have an unintended impact financially, economically on this fisheries. So it would be beneficial if they were to take a stance. For example, I had a situation with salmonella. I was able to call the California Health Department and ask them, for example, tell them who I am. I'm interested. There were some illnesses occurring and were documented from people eating imported tuna from Vietnam and other places that had salmonella, poke. They were quick to share with me the details, the location, where the people were sickened, the number of people, not their names, of course, because mm-hmm. but they gave specifics in confirming what was. That same information now that was obtained by the state health department, that people had eaten fish from Safeway and other places, Foodland, had gotten sick, they wouldn't disclose that. So there's something's wrong there. There's I don't know if it would be, am I careless to say it's corruption or just simply they're covering up. And what are they covering up?
Well, they're taking care of commercial interests, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people think the government, people are under the fallacy of that the government is there to serve us, which is what our elected officials tell us when they enter office. They have to swear an oath to serve and protect us and defend mm-hmm. our rights secured in the Constitution. But when you actually look at their actions, their words and their actions don't equate. They don't add up.
Mm-hmm.
And people seem to stand around and can't figure out what's going on. But in all reality, all of our elected officials act on behalf of the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever position they're in, they're acting within a corporate entity mm-hmm. that's functioning in a county, state, or federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And that corporation is a for-profit corporation. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we're all selling our souls for the bottom line of some inanimate fiction corporate entity, and we've decided that it's worthwhile to sell our children and our future down the drain to some entity that doesn't need to eat,
mm-hmm.
breathe, consume water that's contaminated, or any of these things. And our whole system has us upside down, believing that the important thing is to make sure the companies and the corporate interests are served, and you know, forget the rest of us.
I used to think, I was foolhardy enough to believe that eventually they would disclose information if people were dying, a large number of people dying. But I've come to learn that even if we had massive die-off of human beings, there would be a need for them to cover it up in their minds, because they don't want the public to panic. So they're robbing us of that ability to know what we should be eating, should avoid eating, but they don't tell us because they are driven by the big companies now. And they don't want to speak out. But yet, it is a tax dollars that is supposed to be guarding us, protecting us, monitoring, regulating. But they don't do that. What they do is they defer to the companies and ask the companies. Even in the press releases that I have evidence where the FDA, a local company, Choice Products, their public relations person was actually exchanging emails with the FDA to present a story and disclose that people were getting sick and importing fish. They allowed the company's representative to author the press release.
Right. Well, that's what's going on in government today. I mean, you look everywhere, Dick Cheney and the Republican administration gutted the environmental regulations and invited industry captains to come in and write the regulations. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in the Macondo well situation in the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had perfect technology available. I mean, the blowout valve that caused the problem for the Gulf of Mexico was available. They mm-hmm. just chose to save $500,000 in the construction of their well in the Gulf of Mexico here in the United States waters. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the U.S. But they were within the law. So you can't get them because they had changed the law just prior. And
yeah.
this is what they do. They open up various sectors of the government and gut the regulations. And this is what occurred under the Republican administration. Now, the Democrats know better. People
exactly.
want to point fingers on one side of the aisle or the other. But come the need for the checkbook to be signed, everybody's in the house together. They, mm-hmm. if they don't want it, they can just blow off the funding. And they don't. They never do.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, two sides of the same broken system.
Right.
It's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
They're doing it, not us. Well, sorry, you have the purse strings. And
well,
ultimately,
Obama appointed the Monsanto head.
Yep.
And so, I mean, the BP oil spill was, if you ask me, he won't get great reviews on just the fact that he handled it. The way he handled it and the illnesses that's associated with that and the disclosures and fish that were floating around and being
still
sold.
Are.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I don't want to be – let's not mince words. This is still happening.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even proven that well has stopped flowing.
Right.
And they're still spraying Corexit everywhere. Corexit was banned in Europe years ago because it's a neurotoxin and bleeds out the cells. It's a lipid – destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
Lipids are fats. It breaks up fats, right? Well, unfortunately, our cells are composed of fats. So when we're exposed mm-hmm. to Corexit, there's all kinds of reports of fish bleeding out. People being exposed, the workers inhaling, ingesting, and they're bleeding from every orifice mm-hmm. in their body. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding. That's mm-hmm. literal. Of course, you're not going to hear it in the U.S. press because U.S. press is owned by Commerce.
And, yeah, big companies. And
yeah, I mean, look at the Honolulu advertisement town here. It's one paper for the entire state, and I've called them a million times. If it's not local news, they don't want to talk about it. And yet when it's local news, they don't want to talk about it either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when and what they say according to the dictates of their puppet masters, and the real story or real journalism, you know, be damned. Because they're not going to tell you anything
yeah.
that doesn't jive with their bottom line. But mm-hmm. they're so ignorant, they don't even see their own business model disintegrating before their very eyes. People don't even listen to them anymore, and they're tuning into stations like this and the Internet to get their real information because people know. They're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may have a lower level of education, but that has no bearing on your intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you go to a more sophisticated school and figure out more sophisticated ways to rip other people off doesn't make you more intelligent mm-hmm. than the next guy.
In your opinion, what do you think the fix is to correct some of this reckless behavior on part of DOH and other entities that regulate and enforce? How do you think, what would you immediately ask them to do to correct this bad behavior?
Well, I mean, first off, I'd like them to start testing our fish, obviously. But as far as trying to rein in the behavior of our public behavior, public officials, it's up to the people. Look, our Constitution says we the people have all the power if we so choose to exercise it. And if we don't, we waive it. We give it away. And what we're doing is giving it away. Now, it's not our fault in the sense that we've never been taught that. We were taught that there's a Constitution, but what does that mean? You know, how do you use it? How do you operate it? Just because you gave me a car doesn't mean I know how to run it.
Right.
Or you give me a surfboard doesn't mean I can go out and use it in the ocean responsibly or a boat or anything else. So where's the operator's manual? That should come along with it in first grade, you know, and we're specifically not taught what our rights are secured in the Constitution
mm-hmm.
and the fact that if you hire or put an elected official in office, how do you keep them constrained? Because you don't hire a dishwasher to come to your house, kick you in the teeth, steal all your money, lock you in the closet, and tell you they're going to come back and do it in your next paycheck. Yet
mm-hmm.
this is what our public officials are doing. They don't listen to anything we're doing. The last speaker here was saying, well, we just started realizing they're all listening to us. Why are you just starting to realize it now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you been asleep at the wheel for the past 50 years? When has anybody in our government listened to us? They do whatever the heck they want
mm-hmm.
and then tell us to go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the way we keep our public officials in line is called the oath of office. The oath of office that they swore to get into office. And it's precedent to them functioning in any administrative position they serve in government. But guess what? It says they're going to protect our rights, your rights, my rights, their parents, their children's rights. This is why it's important. Yet, if you went into government and asked anybody, dishwasher, teacher, lifeguard, whoever, elected official, mayor, governor, they don't even know what the oath of office is. They couldn't recite it. And what's the chance of them abiding by it? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if they take the oath, they're required to abide by it. Mm-hmm. How novel a concept is that? And if they're required to abide by it, guess what? You have the right to expect them to abide by it. Mm-hmm. And if they're required to abide by it, that means they have to protect your rights and mine. So wherein the Constitution, if I'm entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, where does it say that I can't ask my public officials to test my fish and see if it's safe? Now, when I call my elected officials, guess what they tell me? You don't have to eat fish. Well, I guess you're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw at the military, you might be familiar with, when the helicopter was down and we uncovered the fact that there was radiated materials aboard that and was spilled in the area, the same Department of Health who we were asking to protect us and monitor the fish actually went out there with Geiger counters that were not adequate. They couldn't do the job, and it was day late and the dollar short. So
that's the same thing they're doing right now. Unfortunately, you know, if you go to their website, I have the printout. Mm-hmm. So the latest update they have is dated April 12th. Well, what's the date today? We're 10 days short of June 12th. So that's 60 days later already. But, you know, let it go. But then in their press releases that they post on their website, the next most recent one is October 2011. This is the Department of Health. Now, that's almost 10 months ago.
10 months ago.
And so then April 12th, they come up to, oh, well, we're checking a few things for you, you know. And you can go through the list, and it's a bunch of nonsense. They're not doing anything. But they're actually doing shoreline sampling. They're going out doing shoreline sampling as of the past month, 3-4 times a week. Are you aware of that? No, they don't tell the public that. Why would they be doing shoreline sampling? Because they're concerned. But if you tell them, well, can you test the fish? No, there's no concern. Wait a minute. You're concerned enough to test the shoreline for what? You're not saying, but it's not of concern to test the fish. Why? And better yet, in science, if I'm going to make a statement, generally speaking, I have to back it up with evidence and data.
Right.
So you're going to tell me it's of no concern, Ms. Lynn Nakasone. Where's your evidence? Where's your data? I'm all about it. I'll go back to sleep. You tell me to go back to sleep. I'm right there. I'm as lazy as the next guy. I just want to go surf.
What you do professionally is just that.
Sure.
Research, science, and science,
well,
and more science.
And if
science,
I make claims, I better be able to back them up. So she's telling me it's of no concern, and we don't need to be concerned. I'm happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. Can I just see the data that confirms it for me?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's what we do. We walk around and assume and presume our officials are taking care of us. Well, I think that's where the problem is. Unless you verify and validate, you get caught with your pants down because you just don't want to do any more homework. You want to, well, they told me. They said, he said, she said. Well, guess what? That's what they love because I can't remember what he said or she said. But if you put it in writing, did I answer it in writing? I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what they always tell you. No matter how many times you call your elected officials, no matter how many times you call the Department of Health, no matter how many times you call your mayor or the complaint line or anybody, did you put it in? Oh, can you put it in writing first?
Right.
Because why? Because if you don't put it in writing, there's no paper trail, and they could care less. And they love it.
And they still won't do anything.
Yeah, and then it's a paper trail fight. And you get. And what's the paper trail for? Oh, I'm sorry. All roads lead to court. Because as you can tell us yourself, did the Department of Health pressure the local supermarkets to put labeling on potentially contaminated foods? No, the Department of Health told them to watch out for a troublemaker.
Yeah, watch out for Carol Cox.
Right. And so how did you get the supermarkets to put labeling that might warn us? You took them to court.
Yeah, and thank God for lawyers who believe in the same thing.
I can't go that far.
Well, you got to have a lawyer to get in, and I can't go into court. But
I don't agree. That's another discussion either.
Well, we'll talk about that. But anyway, it's done, and that was the you use what you can when you can to get something done.
And I would applaud any lawyer that stood up on behalf of that lawsuit. However, as a general practice, and I don't want to get into that. I mean, I'll discuss it another time, and I'll elaborate why I'm saying these things. I don't want to just point fingers and say disparaging remarks, but I guarantee you, you can write a one-page contract with any lawyer you find to protect your rights secured in the Constitution, and they won't sign it. So I have a hard time with lawyers.
Well, but if they're going to protect in this case, they did it with the interest of protecting the public and sharing the same values, and they were successful filing.
It was expedient to their business ends as well.
Unless they gained nothing. Unless they actually went out and did a press conference themselves, it was all about me. They actually did it and were silent. So
I applaud that.
You know, like anything, there are good teachers, there are good preachers.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
But then there are some that goes to jail. And there should be a lot more going to jail. But one of the things that we talk about radiation. You have views and opinions on the Fukushima and some knowledge about it. When they tell us the amount that was spewed, these gauges that they were relying on, were they damaged? Can we rely on what they're telling us?
Let's talk about the Fukushima stuff. I mean, when the explosion happened, or better yet, let's look at the press releases. What does the literature say? Every couple months we read how TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power, is raised the estimated amount of radiation release. In fact, just last week we had another official announcement saying it was 2.5 times more radiation release than what was initially anticipated or suggested. How? Well, it's because that equipment was all blown up. There is no monitoring equipment, not to mention there is no monitoring equipment alive or existent in existence that can monitor these radioactive reactions occurring in an open atmosphere. See, they're designed to be in a closed reactor environment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as well, that speaks to the issue of why there's contamination in the ocean. The cooling water systems were blown up. And the cooling water systems take ultra-clean water because anything that's not pure H2O is going to become hot radioactive ionized material that is forever radioactive for, you know, 1,000 years or whatnot. And that's a problem. So you want to remove that stuff. Well, after the explosion, that whole cooling water systems were all blown up. Now, each one of those reactors take on the order of millions of gallons of water every few minutes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Department of Health saying this is going to dilute. It's going to, you know, the Pacific Ocean is huge. Well, it is. But everything is finite on planet Earth. I'm sorry. And we're talking about 100 years. This is not going to stop for 100 years.
Right.
I hate to break it to you folks, but that's what's happening. The press doesn't want to tell you that, and the Department of Health doesn't want to tell you that. And in fact, all their health advisories are based on 70 or 50 to 100 years. So when you say 70, it falls in between. They'd like to ignore it. Oh, that's not within. I didn't say 70. I said 50 mm-hmm. to 100, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. And this is the game they play. But but it's for a long time, and they'll talk to you as if, well, that the fish sampled last year and detected that's a very low level, and we're not having an ongoing release which will increase radiation amounts or concentration levels, and it's not going to happen for 100 years. This is an isolated event that's out in the middle of nowhere, it'll never happen again. That's all. That's what they're pretending when they're talking to you. Not to mention, all their models are based on a white male, 180 degrees pounds, you know, 6'2". Well, babies aren't that. And who's most at risk? Babies and old women. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the guy my age. You know, I'm mm-hmm. 50 years old. I'm going to die in 30 years anyway. No one's going to live forever mm-hmm. before you get out of here. I'm talking about for the kids.
The more vulnerable. But yeah. You're listening to the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Douglas Oringer, and we're just talking about radiation, the DOH, and the hypocrisy and the failures of its delivery of fact. But you can get this at carol@carolcox.com. And I invited Douglas because when he contacted me, I was anxious to talk about this subject because there's this threat of trash floating that's waiting out there, Doug.
Sure.
And I know it's the Cub Scouts, and I call them the Department of Health, the Cub Scout, and I do apologize to the Cub Scouts because they earned their badges. These dudes at DOH hadn't earned anything.
Well, and here's part of the issue as well, okay? So, you know, I call the Department of Health, and they rightfully need to reduce their workload and handle the public and do appropriate things. And they're in a juxtaposition. You know, they got to serve government, and they're masters at the same time as trying to serve the squeaky wheel in the public.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so right off the bat, they want to say, well, Lynn tells me, you know, we're aware of you, Mr. Arndt, and your opinion that there's no safe level of radiation, but we believe there are safe levels. So that's where we're at. So we're going to agree to disagree. So, but my, and, you know, therein lies the problem. Okay, I'm sorry, that's not my opinion. It used to be my opinion, and you could say that's my opinion, but as of May 15th, report number 14 of the studies of the mortality of atomic bomb survivors, which is a commission set up after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So it's the longest sitting commission to study the effects of exposure to radiation. Now, I would call them the experts, okay? And herein lies the problem with scientists. If you're going to be a scientist and rely on old data, well, then the world's flat. And I don't think the world's flat, and I don't think we need to believe the world's flat. So as science evolves and progresses, I think scientists, too, should also evolve and progress and integrate the newest data.
Mm-hmm.
So Ms. Nakasone at Department of Health tells us, well, we don't have to worry because there's safe levels of exposure to radiation. Well, that's based on a model of a concept called radiation hormesis, where for the first 30 years, a certain segment of those of the population exposed to radiation didn't develop any diseases. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, after that 30 years, they're all dead. So this report, number 14, released about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and which is the most comprehensive compendium to date of exposure to radiation subsequent to World War II and whatnot, says there is no safe level. Why? Because they focus specifically on the low end of the radiation doses, where it was thought to be potentially beneficial and potentially to stimulate the immune system based on very, very limited number of studies, which they used to use that, you know, promote that argument. But still, this data, the most recent data shows that's just not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And all those people who had a lag time in response, who may have had a stronger immune system temporarily, their systems collapsed. They're all suffering terribly. So that low-end exposure hypothesis has been obliterated. And that's the true latest data. There is no other data to trump that. And this is what the experts cited. So when I spoke to Ms. Nakasone, she hadn't seen the report, was unaware of it, and I forwarded it over to her. But if they don't start integrating this information, it's meaningless. We're going to continue to operate as if the world is flat, and that's just not the case. And besides that, if there's two schools of thought, there's two schools of thought many ways in radiation. There's a safe dose or no safe dose.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get into a safe dose or no safe dose, well, is it an external transmitter or an internal transmitter? And an external transmitter is something you can walk away from, like Fukushima or the sun or background radiation, localized concentration in one spot. An internal transmitter, too F and bad, excuse my French again, but you're really up the paddle without a creek, or up the creek without a paddle, because once you ingest it, there's no walking away from it, and you don't know when it's going to come out. And these are discussions, you know, and nuances that they don't tell the public.
Yeah,
it takes more than a 30-second soundbite.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that bluefin tuna is concentrated with radiation or potentially concentrated and has the tendency, or other species might, these are things they should be passing along to the public to let the public decide, hey, you know what, I love bluefin, or I love pokey, but unfortunately, there's a threat. So I'm going to eat it, but maybe not my kids.
Right. I'm going to eat it. For example, mercury. You know, they have a warning and an advisory. Women at this certain, babies at this certain age, or women that are pregnant, shouldn't consume more than so many ounces of fish from a certain area. Why can't they do the same thing? But they're motivated to protect business opposed
to
people.
They absolutely are. And, you know, the real bottom line, you know, the Department of Health will tell us it's of no concern. But I challenge people to go look online about the people living around Chernobyl. And granted, no, we're not in Fukushima. But this is an ongoing incident, and it dwarfs Chernobyl. And already the world is suffering worldwide, not just Chernobyl, but the immediate effects. Go look at the people, the children being treated in Fukushima, in Chernobyl. And I challenge you to watch anything about those children and not cry if you have a human heart, because they're born deformed. I watched some stuff last night to kind of prepare myself for this, and I cried.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm not going to – that's not why we're here, to be human, right? We're here to be talking about the Department of Health, which isn't serving us, because we can't be human. We have to do a corporate bottom line performance. So unfortunately, you know, here's a warning shot across the bow. If we continue to do this, we're not going to have anybody to worry about. And as I said to my elected officials, you people are so foolish in your ignorance and myopic vision, short-sightedness, you'll go ahead and contaminate your tax base with radioactivity, and you won't even have a tax base to tax anymore, and you'll put yourself out of business. Because the only reason you're able to do anything is because you bleed us through the eyes and nose for all our money. You treat us like an ATM machine and kick us until we're dead. And so we'll just be expiring a little sooner, and you'll get a little less out of us. I guess that's not a concern if they figure there's too many people on the planet and they need to reduce the population anyway.
Now, there was an article, a gentleman, and I was taken aback by it, but it was in the Honolulu Star Advertiser. Facts of the matter, ingested radiation no worse than any other type of toxin. Now, I don't know if you saw that, but I saw that, and it's a professor at one of the colleges here, and I'm thinking to myself, so what does that mean? It's no worse than...
Doesn't mean much to him.
Yeah, and obviously. No worse. So if something is deadly, then you find something that is deadly but no worse. Where's the logic?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a relative. You can die. It's a relative scale. What's more painful death, to be shot in the head or to be long torturous? And I'll give you the analogy. It's worse. Because you get one of these hot particles in you, and it causes a slow degenerative breakdown of your system. Mm-hmm. That's a little worse than dying immediately. You want to take an overload of toxins and jump off a cliff or do whatever, go for it. You know, I'm all about you doing whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And as long as you're not bothered, you know, impacting me and my children, that's fine. You're entitled to do it. That's what this country's about.
Where do people, educated people, get the gumption to sit and write something like this? And I mean, don't they understand that it is not a matter of who's going? I'm stronger than, I'm a worse toxin than you are. I mean, why would they lower themselves to that when, in fact, radiation is proven to be toxic? Who cares if it's worse than DDT or less than DDT? It still has its implications.
Well, to me, it's far worse because it's mutagenic. Mm-hmm. In fact, I spoke to another radio show host when mm-hmm. we were bombing Libya. Because the host was all proud about how we're making decisive action or something. But that'd be one thing if it was true. The fact of the matter is all our munitions coming out of this country are tipped with depleted uranium. All of them. Mm-hmm. And all of our armor plating on the tanks that are used are plated with depleted uranium because it's denser material. It withstands impact better. And therefore, as a tip on a munition, it penetrates better, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, whoopee-doo. You know, we've got more sophisticated killing machines and weaponry. But, you know, that means the people handling you and me when we're in the military. I'm talking to a woman up in Wahiwa, a young girl, who's, I'm going to go into either linguistics or infantry. You know, I said, well, don't pick the infantry because you're going to be in the, because she was going to be in a tank, she's telling me. I said, well, you know, you're handling these
radiated depleted uranium.
You know, casings. And she's like, really? Oh, well, I guess I don't want to do that. And I mean, I wanted to cry because they're not telling these people. And that's a fact. So then the NATO countries leave behind this spent munition in the field, in Kosovo, in Yugoslavia. The children are being born deformed. In Fallujah, the children are being born deformed. That is, you tell me what's terrorism. Leaving behind radioactive stuff that now slowly deforms the future generations and demoralizes them, psychologically wipes them out. And, you know, it's not by mistake either. I'm sorry.
I guess
they
say it's no toxic and no harm, more harmful than the guy shooting them in the head. But the reality is we shouldn't be littering the earth with this material.
Right. And to say, you know, oh, well, yeah, okay, some of the byproducts break down in 8 days, and those are the ones that are reported in the press. Believe me, they'll tell you all day long until you're blue in the face about the stuff that'll disappear in 4 days. Mm-hmm. But what about the stuff that doesn't disappear for 4 million years?
Yeah, half-life.
You know, and yeah, the half-lives. And so, you know, you can talk about your cesium or iodine or whatever, the stuff that goes away fast, and that's what they're going to always limit the conversation to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, DDT, I'm telling you, will break down in 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Even dioxins over in Hanalei Valley, where they're dumping them in the 70s after the World Vietnam War.
On Kauai.
Yeah, on Kauai. Even the dioxins break down. So, you know, some kind of credentialed professor with some kind of letters before or after his name, or any official agency in the United States with some alphabet letters, they're all a bunch of, they're full of nonsense. Right. You only need a brain in your own head to think, to realize ionizing radiation that's going to be around for a million years is a little worse than something that's going to break down in 30, 40 years. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, you know, why it is important for the listeners to know that the Department of Health, we can't afford people covering up for big business, because we have come to learn and behave. We depend, we as citizens, the great majority of us, rely on big box stores or stores to provide our food.
Yep.
And we should have an entity that is strict on the monitoring, the measurements.
Oh, I thought we did.
And what's all of that.
Yeah. And if you look at the mandate of the, you know, what's the job description for the Department of Health? It's exactly that.
Yeah.
So why would we even be having to sit here and have this conversation is a bunch of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I'll call and she tells me, don't be concerned. Well, why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, prove it to me. Show me your data that I shouldn't be concerned, because the mandate, the reason why this agency is here is to protect the public health. And if you don't think radiation is of concern, then get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to tell me the world is flat, get out of a scientific position and start serving the people some other way. Because mm-hmm. if you want to serve the people, I applaud you. Go for it. I don't. I couldn't take the oath. I couldn't take the vow of the oath because it means something to me. If I'm going to stand there and swear and hold up my hand and say, I swear to defend and protect your rights and mine, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give you lip service and tell you to listen to my words, but don't look at my actions. And don't ever talk to me about what I've actually done or what our policies are in force on the street.
Yeah, well, we have to really grab hold of this, because I'll share a little story with this Nakasone. It was funny, when I first started the salmonella issue, trying to compel the companies to at least label the fact that they had the carbon monoxide injected in the fish. She, in fact, per one of the store managers, contacted me and says, watch out for her, because instead of working with you, our store wishes to, we don't want to hide anything. We want to be open about it. But she was quoted by them as saying, oh, don't worry about it. Cox is just a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that's sickening.
Well, that's what you have to be this day and age, is a troublemaker.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question for Douglas?
Yes, I just tuned in, so I'm not quite sure who your guest is.
Douglas Oringer.
What's that?
Douglas Oringer.
And does he have some...
what's your question? You got a comment, a question?
Yeah, one thing I've heard is that it's difficult to find or test for radiation in food. I'm not sure if that's correct or not. But the second thing I'm wondering is if you seem to be very aware or concerned about radiation, is there any way of testing to see if we're getting radiated food or not? I'd like to... You know, he talks about, you know, there's been a lot of talk about all kinds of problems, but what can actually be done test?
To be fair to him and you, I would encourage you to go to carolcox.com, and I don't want to regurgitate, but we're speaking to just that fact that they should be and they're not.
So I understand that.
Well, I understand that, but to say what, and when you ask the question, the question is, whatever is available, why isn't the state having in its possession that equipment, and why isn't the state actually doing the testing and sampling? But go ahead, Douglas, you can respond to it.
Sure, and thanks for calling and your questions. They are, you know, any questions is a good question. So, excuse me, absolutely, we want to know what's in our food, and is it difficult to test for radiation in food? You know, I'm not an expert in that area. I want to make that very clear. I have 25 years background in environmental consulting, completely unrelated to this field. You know, my experience is from reading on my own, and I'm not a nuclear scientist, so I could be wrong. But the best I can tell, there's legitimate questions to be raised, and the Department of Health would be the agency that you want to discuss these things with, and they're not discussing them as far as I can tell. But is it hard to test food for radiation? Well, for you and me, it's pretty tough. You know, and it's tough for the Department of Health, too, because they have to send it out to special labs. And, in fact, everything they're sampling, shoreline sampling, air radiation sampling, they send them all to the EPA and other mainland labs. And this is part of the problem. So, you know, in the press releases, they tell you they're sampling all the time. Good. That's great. I want to hear that. But better yet, what are the results? That's the important thing. What are the results? What are your most recent results from?
Yeah.
And they're like 3-4 months behind. Oh, well, that's one of our complaints. We're not getting our results back quick enough from the EPA or other agencies. Like, okay, so basically you're telling us everything's safe, but you don't really know. And you're telling us you're out there sampling to kind of mask the problem and make it look good, but you don't really know what the results are. So what does it matter? I mean,
you know,
we're running around blind.
Yeah, we're coming down to close. But what I would suggest, caller apparently had a different agenda. Something about my radar goes
sure.
up.
Sure. Well, what are my credentials? I don't have a bunch of credentials. Right. I'm a citizen with concerns, and I have a right to have my questions answered.
And besides,
if I can form the question,
the health department is an entity that is – its purpose is to sample, test, and regulate
right.
and inform the public. So we're sitting here because they haven't done that.
Right, and it can be done. It certainly can be done.
Yeah.
And it's been done before. That's what the press release was about, that they did sample of food species, and they were potentially contaminated.
Yeah. But I'll entertain this one caller, and I'm sure it's the same call. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, one good question. Quite a few years ago, they were going to build a radiation facility. I don't know where, maybe on the Big Island, to irradiate food before it's exported to kill bacteria and contaminate. Whatever happened to that?
I believe that's up and running. I believe any papaya coming out of the state is irradiated. They think it's a great thing. And,
so
you know, there's been. Go ahead.
It means all that papaya is irradiated then when you eat it.
Frequently, I think, going out of the state for some reason. Now, and I'm not sure. This is the last I remember reading about it, so don't quote me. I could very well be wrong. But I know at one point we did have facilities up and running, and the papaya from the state was being radiated. And that's a typical
practice.
So we
deliberately put in radiation in food that we eat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's been...
I don't know what levels, so... It must be safe level, so I'll let you go on time short. Thank you.
And that's
well, and that's a sad thing that you're going to assume it's a safe level because, again, the question is there a safe level? And the latest studies show there really aren't any safe levels. Why? Because radioactive isotopes and nucleides are ionized, and it's a super high amount of energy that if you get in proximity to it, it's going to be radiating into your cells. And, you know, if you're like a 50-watt bulb and you got an energy source blasting you with much more, it's going to cause biological damage. It causes mutation in your gene structure and potentially your children's gene structure, you know. And that's not before they're even born. We're talking about your DNA would then be changed. So when you go to procreate, so I don't know. There's a lot of questions around radiation.
Quite often we get that. Inevitably, someone is going to call and put the onus on us when, in fact, if they are listening, they would understand. You and I sharing the same sentiments that we are just asking those that have the professional responsibility, have the legal responsibility and the fiduciary responsibility, but they're failing us. And so when we engage and ask, ultimately, someone will call up and go, well, what's your experience? Well, what's your expertise? I need no expertise to ask my government to inform me of the doings they're doing. And if they don't have the adequate equipment to the proper equipment, then that becomes another problem. But, you know.
Well, do they have the proper equipment? I mean, for the air monitoring, they tell us in their own literature right now, the Department of Health, they're using a whopping 2 meters for the entire state, one in Hilo and one in Honolulu, to monitor our air for the entire state. And then they assure us we're safe.
Right.
Well, I don't know if 2 meters is enough to cover our entire state. And they did the extraordinary measure of doubling their equipment capacity during the peak of the event. They borrowed 2 more meters from EPA. Right. Whoop-de-doo.
Well, anyway, we have so much to talk about, and thank you, Douglas, for joining me. Let's do it again, and we'll talk about it, and hopefully the state will come by and the FDA, because they, too, have a leg in this walk. So.
And there's one thing I might add. You know, everybody's talking about money or no money. If you look at the financial reports, there's the off-budget money, and it's to the tune of $4.4 billion for Honolulu, the city and county of Honolulu. So there's money sitting around there.
Okay, well, we'll talk again. Thank you. I enjoyed it. Aloha, and thank all of you for joining, and we'll see you next week.
it will be forever. Or I'll never fall in love. In a restless world like this is, love is ended before it's begun. And too many moonlight kisses seem to cool.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.